All right. Well, Kufar Akbar, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Cross and the Crescent discussion group. This is a Blog Talk Radio program dedicated to rightly dividing the truth between Christianity and Islam. We are here every Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, normally for about 2 hours, where we discuss various issues that deal with the differences between Christianity and Islam. Today, we're going to be looking at a review of a debate that happened last Saturday between the Imam Kenny Bomer and Dr. David Wood. Dominic is frozen here, so I am kicking him from the studio, and then I'm bringing him up over here. There we go. I couldn't understand why you were on there twice, because you're frozen on one. There we go. You're all squared now, though. Okay, so let me take care of an admin thing here. First, if you could, go ahead and like, share, and subscribe to the channel, and then comment also on the show as we go along. Evidently, Mr. Computer Man over there, the master of the algorithm, Rad says that helps get the word out. So if you could do that, I'd appreciate that. If you don't do it, then the heck with you then. Do that. Okay, well, there you go. So, like away, rage jihad on the like button and the subscribe button, and there's a bell that is supposed to remind you if I'm not mistaken. Uh-oh, look at that. We got somebody trying to get in the studio, and we're full already. We didn't start the show and we're full already. Mamma mia. That's all right. Okay, so today we're going to dissect and critique this post-date debate that Kenny hosted yesterday, providing excuses as to why he performed so poorly in his debate against Dr. David Wood. And you know, we did this last week. We did a critique of the debate itself, but we were going to be discussing something completely different today until the troublemaker, the radical moderate, sent me this guy's link and said, hey, let's watch this. And so we watched it, and I'm like, okay, 9 pages later, I'm thinking, okay. And this, folks, these guys were on for 4.5 hours. 4.5 hours. And so when I went through the critique, I got through last night, this morning before church, and then this afternoon, I only got up to the 40-minute mark of this discussion. Oh, he is. Well, let him die. I'm so disappointed. What do you mean, okay? No. Okay, hold on. Okay, this is what he says in his show last night or yesterday. He said, let's see here. And it was about doing the difference between doing a debate and the difference between doing a live stream. And I have this in here someplace. And he said, well, the difference between doing a debate is that you have to be on your feet. You have to think. But if you live stream, you can bring somebody up on stage, let them make them comment, and then you can mute them and move them back off stage and talk over them and make whatever point you want to. So he admits what he does to people when they come onto his platform. He, you know, moves them to the back. You know, he moves them to backstage while he sits there and badmouths whatever they had to say. And this is why I can't figure out why you guys continually go to that show and try to think that you're going to get any type of fair hearing or fair, you know, some type of fair shake from the guy. I don't know. You know, if you think you're accomplishing something, that's cool. But, you know, it's just the way he treats his guests is just pathetic. And you made a profit at it, too, by the way. Capitalist thing. Yeah, I was hoping, I was wondering if you claimed that on your taxes that you just get done, was it yesterday? You know they were on the, doing the 18th? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, it, okay, so if you... No, well, even then, no. I mean, the guy's a doctor. I mean, this is, I just, you know, I pray for the man, I pray for his soul, but, you know, he won't. And this is what, you know, you're a dimmy. He's not going to do that, dude. What the heck? He's not going to do that for you. They were bonding, yes. And he admits it in the, I mean, the guys, this is like this is like low-hanging fruit here. It's a target-rich environment. That's why it's taken me so long to get through the first 45 minutes. So if we sit here and talk about it, we'll never get to anything. So let's get to it. During the debate, is that? Oh yeah. All right. Well, let's get to it. Okay. So, let's come over here, and all right. So we're going to start off at 6:32, and I really didn't have any bullets that I made about this one. I'm just going to let it speak for itself, and then we'll stop it. It's only about 15 seconds. Okay, so I wanted it to go, and he made the points that he wanted to make. Now, when we look at the points that he wanted to make, if you look at the overarching idea that he's presenting the idea that there are differing views on the age of Aisha according to Islam. And so he made all kinds of points demonstrating that. Where? He didn't. That's the point that I want to make. He did not cite one hadith providing a different age for Aisha. And the reason why he didn't cite the one hadith providing a different age for Aisha is because it doesn't exist. So if you're going to try to make a point that, hey, I made all the points that I wanted to make, well, you didn't make any points suggesting a different age of Aisha other than your opinion or the opinions of others who, oh, by the way, are embarrassed by this. Okay. Anybody else have anything they want to add to that before we move on? Aisha. I'm saying what? I am saying Aisha. Okay. The girl's name begins with the letter A and ends with an A. Here we go. Okay. No, that's fine. Okay. So this one, he's going to be talking about how he brought in multiple points, various scholars, and would cause. Now, notice the word he uses here. Any decent person. Can't really say how old she was. So that would mean only indecent persons. Listen to this crap. This is how he debates. Sure you can. So listen, he describes. Is that what he said? And this is how he argues. He said, he says any decent and logical person would think the way I do. when the actually the opposite is true, because any logical or decent person would actually go to the original source material and say, where do we begin with this? You know, where did this idea that you had some 50-year-old man crawl on top of a 9-year-old girl to begin with? Well, where does that originate from the scholars? No, you go back to the original sources. The original sources, all, when I say all, every single one that suggests Aisha, that provided a number for Aisha's age, say that she was 9, with the exception of one. There was one, and that's from the Sira. That is from the biography of Muhammad, and it says 9 or 10. So there's only one source that says that she was something other than 9, and it says that she was 10, and it says 9 or 10, and that is probably the she might even be even younger. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then he wants to argue, well, what is confirmation? Is that like signing a contract? Is this like a business deal? Shut your pile. Really? No, of course he's. This is the fallacy. Exactly. And there's contract. Yeah, but this is the process of equivocating, where you change the meaning of a term in a different context. Right. Yeah. This is what he was doing. Yeah. Way to go. Yeah. Yeah. He says, because this is where it is impossible, and they don't allow people to provide criticisms of Islam. They make it, illegal according to the Sharia, according to Islamic law, to criticize the consensus of the scholars. And the reason why is when you start criticizing the scholars, this is where you start opening free inquiry, where you can say, well, actually, we can start second guessing this, and this is what Kenny is finally doing. Thank you, Kenny, for starting a reformation of sorts within Islam, where we can actually go in and question, hey, where's the archaeological evidence for Mecca? Where can we find that? Where do you find the sources that the Quraysh tribe actually existed in this region of Saudi Arabia? Where do we find it? This is where you can start questioning this. And when they keep questioning this and they cannot provide any type of answers, any type of evidence, they're done. Okay, so he goes on, and this is the one from Hatun's channel. Okay. Maybe we ought to get her on here sometime. I wonder. Well, even if she was British, we wouldn't hold that against her. I mean, that's... there's K. All right. Well, I'm going to get in contact with her and see if we can get her on. Oh, by the way, next Tuesday, what's today? Yeah, we can hear you, Ed. Go ahead. We're just talking over you. That's all. We're just talking over you and ignoring you. Go ahead. Daughter of Crisis. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. We're getting ready to go into the next clip. And I was just making the point, you know, when you start doing Islamic scholarship, it's not scholarship at all. It's just accepting, a blind acceptance of what the Quran says, and then conforming your entire worldview to that document itself. That's not scholarship. That's not how facts are arrived at. That's how dogmas are developed and cults are developed. Okay, so let's get to the next clip. Did you have something you wanted to add to that, Reb? All right, here we go. This next one's about 30 seconds. Okay, so he's what he's claiming here is that he's looking at what the scholars have to say about Aisha's age and people who are writing Islamic history. And he's lying about that. He's not, that's not true. When we look at what the original sources say, they all say she was 9, but also scholarship throughout the centuries have said that she was prepubescent. Let's go to Ibn Kathir. Here's what Ibn Kathir says. Ibn Kathir says, when commenting on, when commenting on Bukhari, he said, in Bukhari, it says he contracted marriage with Aisha when she was 6, therefore consummating marriage when she was 9. Kathir says, is not disputed by anyone, and is well established in the Sahih collections of traditions and elsewhere. Ibn Kathir. So Kenny is contradicting Ibn Kathir. What a great position to be in, where you're going to contradict probably the most prolific and widely accepted commentator, compiler of tafsir on the Quran. Way to go, Kenny.
Well done.
Either that or he's going Quran only. I don't know. And then They're sick. That's what's wrong with them. They're sick. You're trying to justify this. Right. I want to read something here that addresses Kenny trying to refute Sahih Hadith. And I've said this a couple times on this show before, and it's from Al-Tabari, when Al-Tabari was called Al-Tabari Fatah. Okay, in here he writes, when he's commenting, Al-Tabari, the historian of Islam, who would kind of know, and he's throwing Tabari under the bus too. The Sahih of Imam Bukhari is a collection of Sahih Hadith, specifically not a collection of the only Hadith that scholars should use. The scholars themselves state a Sahih Hadith has about a 99 to 100% chance of being entirely accurate. Al-Tabari says that a Sahih Hadith, not just what's in Bukhari, but a Sahih Hadith itself has a 99 to 100% chance of being entirely accurate. And so when we start looking at all of these Hadiths that Kenny completely dismissed, that David Wood read off, over a dozen of them from Bukhari, from Muslim, from Sunan Abu Dawud, from Al-Nas, all of those, Tirmidhi, all of those compilers, Kenny, that comes from a chain of narrators that we can't trust. And not all of them come from that same chain of narrators, oh, by the way, that David Wood pointed out. And he's throwing all of that 99 to 100% authentic, he's throwing it under the bus. That is religious suicide. It really is. I mean, that's just the suicide of your religion if you're doing that. All of them? Okay, well then you got a problem with the Quran too that we can discuss. Imam Radical coming up. Right. He's an Iraqi foe. We're getting to that, Dominic. You're absolutely right. We're getting to that. Yeah. We're getting to that. That's fine. Yeah. And it's still there, by the way. Okay, let's go ahead. You guys, anything else want to say? Let's go ahead and start this next one. This next clip is 20 seconds, so let's go ahead and play it. Uh-huh. And you're an idiot. I mean, of course you're not. It could work. Right. Well, you notice the disqualifier. Okay, the disqualifier was I'm not trying to impress anybody. Well, we most certainly hope you're not, because you definitely do it. And you look at those clapping seals in his studio. It's like, oh, yeah, oh, okay, can I hear it? I'm like, come on. Let's see here. Modern Scholars and Bears. Right, that's what I'm calling them. They must just be a bunch of seals. They're a la arc barking in the front row of a... Right. Well, this is what all of the earliest geographers, cartographers say about that region of Arabia, that it was not only uninhabited, but it was uninhabitable. So to say that this is the mother of all cities, this is where, you know, you had a major trade route going through, it's nothing but malarkey, and everybody knows it now that we're able to actually talk about it, which leads to our next clip, unless somebody still wants to opine here. Anybody? All right, let's go ahead and bring this next clip up. We're at 8. What are we at here? 8:43 is close enough. Okay, so the question becomes is why are they calling him into question now? He did. Right, of course, because he's a hypocrite. That's why. He uses it correctly here, but he didn't want to use it correctly in debate. That's what a hypocrite does. And he conflates the term. But here's the question. If no one questioned the morality of the marriage of Aisha when she was 9 and Muhammad was 54 prior to 1905, and this is according to Kenny, of course, why are so many people today calling these hadiths, which describe Muhammad's consummation of a marriage to a 9-year-old prepubescent girl, why are they calling them into question today? When they didn't do it before, why are they doing it today? And the reason why they're doing it today is because now these facts are coming into the light of the truth. People are actually able to examine these things. And when people examine these things and they look and see what the hadith actually say consistently, they're horrified. How can you possibly believe that this guy was a prophet when it's your own sources, your most trusted 99 to 100% chance of being completely authentic sources say that he did these things? And exactly, that's exactly right. We have the proliferation of literature today where if you wanted to find this out 100 years ago, you would have to go digging through books, and you would have to comb. And today, you can just get on Google and Google it. Now, I was right. Yeah, it wasn't right, and there wasn't the translations. You're exactly right. I was just going to opine about what did you just say, Paul? There was something I was going to comment on that. Oh, that's right. Right. Well, this is where he consistently made the comment during the debate that to say this is an attack on all Muslims. When you say this about Muhammad, it's just you're attacking all Muslims. No, we're not. We're describing what your sources say that the things that he did, and then we're comparing those to what most people would think as decent behavior. But yet you're going to accuse people of being indecent for believing them. It's just astonishing the hypocrisy that you see being applied here. It really is. Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's exactly what he's doing. Yeah, he's calling them. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. So in this next clip, he talks about more reliable hadiths describe a different age. What? Yeah, I know. Just hang on. It'll be – stop. Quit being so demanding. Okay, before we press, somebody needs to throw this guy, the Muslim apologist, a fish for acting like a seal, nodding all the time. Okay, so he says, more reliable hadith describe a different age. So if these hadith exist, if these hadith do in fact exist, why didn't he cite them? Why didn't he cite them during the debate? Why doesn't he cite them now? Why doesn't he tell us where can we find these hadith? Where do we find this literature? Well, when we get it here, here's what's really scary about this: how we determine to rate a hadith is told to us and defined for us in the hadith. You know what we call that? Circular reasoning. You have the hadith telling us how to rate the hadith. You know, that's like saying, well, the Bible's true because the Bible says it's true. Well, you don't accept that, do you? No, of course you wouldn't. No thinking person, no decent person would do that. But yet, here we go. It's right here in front of us. This is their belief that God cannot interact with his creation. It is. All right. All right, here we go. Okay, so he doesn't reject all hadith. He's only rejecting those that make his prophet look like a pervert. That's the only ones that he's rejecting. He's not rejecting the ones that describe his prophet. Notice he's not rejecting the ones that describe Muhammad engaging in the slave trade, buying, selling, raping, encouraged the rape of enslaving women. Notice he doesn't reject the hadith that describe his prophet murdering people and ordering people to murder people. He doesn't reject those. He doesn't reject the Hadith that clearly demonstrate his prophet was using his angel Gabriel as a sock puppet when describing how why children resemble their parents. He doesn't reject the Hadith that describe Mecca as having grass, olive trees, tillable soil, trees, grapes, pools. Well, he doesn't reject those Hadith, even though they're false. He doesn't reject the Hadith that describe Muhammad ordering the torturing of a Jewish man for not telling Muhammad where the gold was. And he doesn't reject the Hadith describing Muhammad going to each of his nine wives in one evening and having sex with them without taking a bath. Notice how selective he is with the Hadith that he does accept and the ones that he rejects. Oh, yeah, yes. Oh, yeah. So they're all Sahih. Well, Islam doesn't use the historical method, Dominic. You know that. You arrive at facts when you use the historical method. They don't use that. You arrive at fantasies and just little kids' stories when you don't use the historical method. And that's what you get. The Hadith were not compiled for 250 years after the death of Muhammad. Bukhari did not live until 870. That 870 is when he compiled his – Muhammad died in 632. This is 250 years. Yeah, this is 250 years. He didn't know Ibn Ishaq, who wrote his biography 100 years after his death, and he didn't know Ibn Hisham, who copied from Ibn Ishaq, because we don't have no extant copy of Ishaq's work, who lived 200 years after Muhammad's life. So we're getting information from the 9th and 10th centuries, and they're redacting this information back onto this mythical figure that I think the whole thing is just made up of a bunch of hooey by the Abbasids trying to gain political power. And oh, Kenny even admits this. We're going to get to it. He even admits that they were lying. Okay. Let's see here. Can we go on to the next comment? Or does anybody have anything they want to add to that about Kenny's selective application of Ahadith literature? Yep. I know Sharon's been quiet. She acts like she's in the witness protection program out there. I don't know what she's doing. She's watching the NBA playoffs on the side. Cut her some slack. She doesn't. Okay. Yeah. It's all right. It's not a problem. No problems at all. All right. We're going to listen to some of Kenny's pals here in a second. Look at this. I want you to look at this guy here. This guy right here. Can you see this? You can't see my mouse. This Muhammad Kavvef. I mean, what is this guy doing here? Yeah. I mean, is he auditioning for some type of Narnia movie, or what's he doing here with this getup he's got going? Dark glasses inside of a building. Okay, well, maybe maybe he's got some type of eye problem or not, but man, he looks. Okay. He didn't say much. He didn't say much during the show. I did notice that. Okay, all right, let's go ahead and play this clip here. Thank you. It's not debatable. You're right. Exactly. Right. Right. Notice what he said about Muhammad, and he admits that this, if this is true, that would make Muhammad a pedophile, and that's a heck of an admission, because if that is the case, then you have to do everything you possibly can to deny the reliability. And yeah, this I would right, and this is true. If this does. But if this is true, and this does make Muhammad a pedophile, then you have to do exactly what Kenny's doing right now. Is you have to destroy the legitimacy and the veracity of the Hadith literature that describe Aisha's age. So Kenny's doing what you would expect anybody that is a true believer that Muhammad was actually some type of epitome of an example for people to follow. That he's doing that, and power to him. But by doing it, we are able to go in and analyze how he's doing it and expose him for being hypocritical and deceitful in the process. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of things that Muhammad did that go against the laws of Moses. Just about everything the man did goes against the laws of Moses. Right, yeah. Who are you talking about? Yeah, he said a lot of things that aren't true. Okay, let's see here. 99% of Muslims do believe that these Sahihadith are reliable. Kenny's in an extreme minority here. So he's missing the entire point when he makes the statement. All right, let's go to this next one. We got to go clear up to the 17-minute mark. How did I miss all this? My goodness. You must have been bloviating or something. Allah Akbaring, who knows? Oh, he's talking about Aladdin here. Aladdin. Rad sent some pictures. Rad, where are you? Okay, where are those pictures that you took, that you clipped out? Oh, yeah, here we are. Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can drag this over. Yeah, with all due respect. Okay, hold on. Let me, how do I do this? Okay, I got to stop screen share. And no. Not that guy's a loony bird. Okay, here it is. Here's Aladdin. What is this thing up here? What is this? GoGetFunding.com, please help. What is it? Can somebody check out what that fundraiser is? Because I'm getting to that. One of the most horrid things that is said in this debate deals something with in this discussion. Yeah, I don't know. But look what he says here. Look what Aladdin says. With all due respect, all you have done is throw Imam Shafi, Hisham bin Mura, and his students in Hadith of Bukhari, Muslim, Aisha Hadith under the bus to prove Islam is weak. Kenny, you were attacking Islamic orthodoxy, talking with, what's DW, anti-Islam to prove. Oh, David Wood. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So even Aladdin. Yeah. Hold on, Sharon. Go ahead. There you go. Okay. Okay. Oh, Blockistan. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, here we go. This is a minute long. Why not? What's wrong with you guys? Okay, hold on, let me go back here. Okay, man, come on. There we go. All right, so let me present. Yeah, let me do this. Let me just redo the whole thing. Here we go. Windows. Whoop. Go back. I'm not. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Yeah. That's it right there. There we go. That's as loud as it goes. Okay. Here we go. Yeah. They're never going to. That's the thing. You know exists. Let's see, right here. Okay, this is a comment. Okay, this is a comment, and I have this at for the end of the what I have here. But if you remember what Bukhari wrote, Al-Tabari, when commenting on Bukhari on the Sahih Hadith, he says that she was with her dolls. She was with her dolls, and it was Tabari who goes in and qualifies what that means. And Tabari says is that she was a prepubescent girl. But listen to what Asqalani says. Asqalani goes in and does the same thing. It says, I say with certainty that she was not yet the age of puberty is questionable. Asqalani is saying is this questionable, though it might be possibly so. This because Aisha was a 14-year-old girl at the Battle of Khaybar, at the time of the Battle of Khaybar, either exactly 14 years old or having just passed her 14th birthday, approaching it. As far her age at the Battle of Tobruk, she had then definitely reached the age of puberty. The Battle of Khaybar was in 629. The Battle of Tobruk was in 630. If she had not reached, think about this, if she had not reached the puberty by the time of the Battle of Khaybar, she was married to Muhammad 5 years prior to this. She's 14 at this time. And she still hasn't, they don't know for certain if she's reached the age of puberty at 14. Well, what the heck was she when she was at 9? So to make this excuse that this clown makes, what was his name? Jamal, Brother Jamal? Or whatever. Yeah, this is... Okay, Rad, make sure you do this carefully so people understand what you had to explain it to me 4 or 5 times. Yeah, that's okay. We don't need to listen to his rant. We do have more that he did say though, because he kind of went on a rant here. Okay. 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 Let's go ahead and go to the next clip here. All right. So here's the guy, what's the guy's name? Jamal is commenting on David Wood again. Here we go. Okay, so this is a lie. This is a lie. But here's just a point that I want to make here. So listen to what this guy's saying. Right. Okay. So David went in, when this was charged was made by Kenny, that Rebecca was three. David went in and goes, okay, so if she's a woman, how does a woman, she's, or if she's a 3 years old, how, why is she described as a woman? Does Kenny, Rashi, okay. But the point that I want to make here is that he, what he's doing is he said, oh, doesn't David trust his own, you know, the Jewish scholars on this? Hypocrite. What you are doing, you're saying, okay, David is going to the Bible and he's quoting from the Bible evidence why Rebecca was not 3 years old. But you, what you are doing, you and your clown friend here, Kenny, are both going to the Hadith and saying, no, we can't trust that. The most trusted scholars in all of Islam, you can't trust your own scholars, our own scholars, basically we can't trust our own scholars. You see the hypocrisy here and how the depth of this seat that these guys have to partake in order to try to make this point? This guy is sick. I mean, to be that dishonest, I mean, to be that dishonest and then say it with a straight, I don't know if he's saying it with a straight face or not. It's ridiculous. And okay, let me just make one more point. If, again, admin point, like, share, comment, subscribe, please, if you're watching right now. All right, go ahead. Rad, you were going to make a point about Rashi, I think it was. Well, and this is the ridiculousness of their argument. It's so ridiculous to try to make this argument. They do the same thing to Mary. Mary was just a little girl. Joseph was 90 years old, and they go outside of Scripture in order to do this. If we go into the Quran, we can find in 65:4, you can do this. You can do these types of things that are described what Muhammad did to Aisha. If she was prepubescent, you can go ahead and do that. But in order to get at what their conclusions are, you have to go outside of Scripture and go on to the commentaries. Here, we're quoting directly from their Hadith literature, and the Hadith literature is saying she was 9 years old. Okay. And you're going to sit here and tell us that we know better than the Jewish scholars, but at the same time, you evidently know better than your own scholars, or you're lying about your own scholars. No, I think you're right. This is, he popularized the idea that she was watching. Two thousand years after the event, he's commenting on it, right? Okay, this next clip, thank you, Red, for digging that up. Very good. Yeah, and that's the nail right on the head right there. That because Isaac was not the Sunnah for everybody to follow for all time. Joseph was not a Sunnah for us to follow for all time. However, when you look at Muhammad, yes, this is it. Again, like, share, make sure you guys like the show and comment on it in the chat. Okay, this one is just kind of for the entertainment value alone. What I want you to do is I want you to look at this Narnia character here in the middle, Muhammad, and look what he's doing here. Hold on, let me just play this. It's only like 7 or 8 seconds. All right, so here, David Wood is a very liberal Christian. He also gets paid a lot of money to make content against Muslims on YouTube. He's not sincere. Okay, and they were going around on this quite a bit about how much money David made. He makes $10,000 a month off of his, I think it was his Patreon alone, which is a substantial income, but that's his only income. And if you look at Marie, I don't believe his wife, I might be wrong on this, but I don't believe she works outside the home. And they have, right, well, and that's the thing. That's that they don't understand. Nobody wants to bring that up. They're saying, look at all this money he's made. Well, you know, if I made $10,000, well, anyway, that's still quite a bit of money wherever you live. So, sure. But they have to find a way to criticize him. They're saying that he's making money by attacking Muslims is what is their whole. Well, that was just an allusion to his theology. But as far as the main attack here is him making money by offending. Right. That's exactly what it is, Paul. Ad hominem. I couldn't think of the word off the top of my head, and I didn't want to dig myself a hole. It's only legitimate money if you can criticize Christianity and defend Islam. If you try to criticize Islam, you can't make money that way. All right, this next one. Okay, look at this one where we can. Hey, how are you, Chris? How's your boy doing? Okay, all right. No, they haven't even represented the verse accurately to begin with, let alone represent a commentary on it by an early church father. So when almost every single time that you get in a discussion with them, they do not represent either the verse or the context of the verses around it accurately. And it's not even worth your time. Right, it's our own private interpretation is what it is. Yeah. It's hypocrisy. He said he would send me a Skype. Okay. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. True that. Yeah. All right. Thanks, brother. Right. There's also a GoFundMe. I can't remember who posted it. I'll have to look. What I'll do is I'll send it out via the GoFundMe for him. It was sent to me. I can't remember who sent it to me, and I forgot all about it. And now that he came up on here, I'm like, I forgot to go. Anyway, I'll find it and then I'll send it out via Messenger and such. Okay, let's get back to this nonsense here. All right, we're going to go to timestamp. Kenny makes a comment about David using shock value and rhyming, and I'm not even going to go to that one. But and the reason why I say that is because, you know, somebody else used to use, you know, rhyming and things in his hip hop days, you know, where he'd be out all night doing his living his hip hop career. I'm just saying that's not a very fruitful way to have a marriage, by the way. No, he was not drinking the Rona. He said that it was just on the table there with him and his buddies. So he was not. Right. If he says, you know, you have to accept it. Okay. All right. So let's go to this one right here. This one get you fired up. Okay. Okay. So let's see here. Wait a second. Did I stop that too soon? Okay. Hold on. Okay, so here he's the swine of the humankind. And, you know, this is exactly why I brought my friend Wilbur back with me today. He's come out of retirement back here. And this is what this is the name calling, the juvenile name calling that he engages in, the ad hominem attacks. He's called Connie that. He's called me that. He's called Rat. Well, he's called Rat a lot worse. Rat's actually elevated that that name calling thing to new heights. And neither do I. Yeah. So here again, he's kind of exhibiting this Islamic supremacism that he has. And I wrote a whole bunch of things here, but notice how he wants to lash out at people who disagree with him. Because I wanted to lash out at, what did he say? I wanted to lash out physically towards David or something. Didn't he just say something on those lines where he wanted this? And he admits in this, and I didn't include it because there's just too much here, but he even admits that that's one of his shortcomings. But yet, you know, how old is he? Right. How old is he? I mean, if you still have these type of feelings where you want to physically lash out at other people with whom you disagree, you need to get some type of help. I mean, it might land you in jail for a year or something. I don't know. It could. Definitely not prison, but it could land you in jail because we know you didn't go to prison for anything like that. But I would just, you know, and then, you know, he's like talking about getting in the ring with people all the time. And if you looked at him, and I don't, okay, he's put on some pounds. Okay, and if he ever gets a hold of somebody, he might be just a little south of 400. He's a big boy. So if he gets a hold of you, what is he going to do? All he has to do is get a hold of you and just land on top of you, and it's game over, for God's sake. You know, so, I mean, what's the point? I mean, what is this? You know, we used to do this in the third grade, okay? You're supposed to be an adult man, and yet you still engage in this type of rhetoric. I don't get it. Well, I do get it because because if you follow the sunnah of this guy, of Muhammad, and you allow yourself to submit to the God of this guy, that's what it's going to do to your heart. That's what it's going to cause violence, death, suffering, and you're going to because Satan was a liar and murderer from the beginning. And this is exactly what influenced Muhammad. What I personally believe. This is the I believe that Muhammad did see an angel, but it wasn't Gabriel. It was Lucifer. All right, your comments. Okay, that's it. Rad, be careful. They're going to timestamp that. I promise you they're going to timestamp that one. Well, we must have... Okay. All right, just stop. Can we get back on topic, please? All right, thank you. All right. All right. All right, here we go. Okay, so we're being condescended to by this guy about what is decent and what is not. Here you have him calling David a pig. Let's see here, because he's saying that David said, well, it's mine too, as you can see back here. This is the same guy that doxed me, and he's talking about behaving decently. He's going to try to lecture people about being decent to other human beings. You know, he's... Yeah, and he's going to condescend about, he's going to talk to, you know, try to talk to us about decency. And this is still going on. I didn't know if you guys were aware of this. Let me show you. I got this email from Muhammad Ismail. I got it last month, and I usually don't bring things like this up, but this is kind of interesting. It says if you can't see that, I don't know if I can make that bigger or not. Let me see here. Can I make? I know. That's why I'm thinking it's Marshall. That's why I'm almost certain it's Marshall. But it says you have disrespected our prophet, mothers, Muslim sisters, Quran, and Islam. We have your home address, son's address, daughter's address, and your place of work address. We are coming for you, Muslim Brotherhood of the United States. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he doesn't. This is why I'm 99% sure it's Marshall, is because he's capitalizing words that, well, he's capitalizing. Number one, this is Marshall English. He's capitalizing words that should not be capitalized. He's not using punctuation properly. He's using the word our, as in our house or our car, as A-R-E. So he doesn't know how to spell correctly. But I did go through there, and he must have spell checked it, because the rest of the words, even though he used that word incorrectly, the rest of the words are spelled correctly. So I'm thinking he put some effort into this one instead of just kind of knee jerk making a threat. But this is what this religion does. This is what it breeds. This is what it does to their head. And you know, Kenny's going to sit there and condescend to me about this type of, you know, about decency, or other people about, you know, David Wood's not decent. He said this about the prophet. Well, David Wood is just repeating what your own sources say. But here's what you're doing, buddy. Yeah. What do you mean by that? Yeah, then they go cut Kenny's head off. Right? Okay, here's that clip that I had mentioned earlier. Let me see if I got this right here. Oops, sorry. Am I still on this? No, I have to. Okay, hold on. Let me share screen again. Here we go. Bada bing, bada boom. Here we are. Okay, here's one I talked about earlier. Okay, so here's what he just admits what he does on his live streams. So if you come in there and you address something what he disagrees with on his live streams, this is what he does. He's going to put you on mute, he's going to put you backstage, and he's going to talk over you, he's going to degrade you, and he's going to call you all kinds of names. And then he'll probably just kick you from the studio and won't let you back on. So why you guys go over there and bother this man, I have no idea. But if you, you know. Right. So they've been doing it since. Apostasy war, sure. Okay. Here's the next one. Let's see here. Okay, he's describing what David Wood does, rapid fire. Okay, so when David Wood, in his introduction, you notice what he did during the debate in the introduction. He had those stacks of books. There are two stacks of books of the Ahadith collection, the Tasfir, and I'm not sure if he read from the Sira or not, the biography or not. So what did he call them throwing out? Let me see here. The slanderous attacks. So reading from your Sahih source is a slanderous attack now. That's what he's equating it to. This is crazy. And here's what David said that really was this truism is just absolutely gold. He says, when Christians are defending the reliability and the veracity of the most trusted Islamic sources from the attacks of Muslims, we won the debate. And that is so true. When we have to defend their sources from their attacks against them, we win. You don't even, I mean, it's game over. Okay, this next one I want to play because this guy here in the middle. Yeah, okay. So this is the clapping seal here in the middle, this Muslim apologist guy. Listen to what he has to say. And I'm only going to play 5 seconds of it. Okay, so he calls David Wood a psychopath, and then he blames David for trying to raise money to bury his son. Well, yes, that's true. I mean, I guess that's not an ad hominem attack, but it's a true statement. Yeah. But to criticize a man for trying to raise money to bury his children, and it wasn't just buying one plot. I think this was, he had mentioned something about Marie wanting all the children to be buried in one section of the cemetery all together. So they would have to buy, was it five, he has five kids or six? Okay, well, okay. All right, so it'd be six total. All right, so, and it'd be like $20,000. And so this guy is berating him for trying to raise money for this. Now, what, where, yeah, where is that, Red? Where is it? All right, let me see if I got it here. Was it here that I had it? Yeah, I got it right here. Here we are. Let me put it up. Right after, and this, both of us, you know, I'm not faulting Kenny for doing this either. No, I don't think anybody would. Both of his sons were in this very serious car accident. It ended up, this is his oldest son. His oldest son ended up dying in this car accident. And at the time, they're trying to raise 5,000. I think it says right here. Can you see that? 5,000 to $20,000. And nobody begrudged Kenny for doing that. And I don't think any decent human being would. But yet, I don't think I committed to that one, though. But that's not the point I want to make. But the thing that I'd like to point out here is the hypocrisy involved from the clapping seal here. And also, look at this. I don't know if you can see this. Hold on. Let me get this up here. Can you see what he's got in the background here? Wait, what happened to my shoe? Oh, here it is. Oh, never mind. All right, let me get it back up here. Hold on. No, in the background here, he's got this like painting here in the background. Can you see that? Okay, it looks like a finger painting of some sort that he may be using to sell so he can, you know, win a date with the third grader or something. I'm not sure exactly what that is. Yeah, I mean, what do you got in the background there, buddy? I mean, it's giving you away. I'd be more careful about what you reveal in the background, you scumbag. I mean, to do that to a man who just lost a child is just, again, this is the spirit that, you know, that Muhammad inspires people to engage in. Okay, let's see here. Let's go to 30:30. We only have about 15 minutes. I knew we weren't going to get through all of these. You guys talk way too much. Okay, 31:35. 31, here we go, right here. Okay, so what Kenny's doing here is he's throwing 1,300 years, 1,400 years of Islamic scholarship into the dumpster fire with his book. You just might as well burn it. Go ahead, Ed. That's the problem. Right. Yeah, and when you quote these sources to him and you tell him what Tabari had to say about Sahih Adeep, you say, hey, look, Tabari's your historian guy. Tabari gives you an understanding of Islamic history, so you know what happened in that armpit of the world right there, what you call Mecca. Tabari tells us, because there's no other historian out there that names Mecca until the 8th century. So if you're going to throw Tabari under the bus, you're throwing all of that stuff out, because if you can't trust Tabari when Tabari says that Sahih Hadith are 99 to 100% authentic, you can trust him to that point, and you're throwing that out. You're throwing all that stuff. I mean, he's turning Islamic scholars under the bus into an Olympic sport here, is what he's doing. Right. Yeah, that's exactly what it goes down to. Okay. What do you want to do? The one that you pointed out. Okay. Which one is that? Okay, we're going to have to go fast. 35. There we go. Is that what you wanted to go to? No, let me just say a couple things about that. Okay, so what he's talking about is, okay, the most important hadith is what is said in the Quran. Well, how do we know it was said in the Quran? Well, you have people that heard what Muhammad said, they wrote it down, they memorized it, and then what happens? According to the hadith, Uthman collects all this stuff, and he creates the Quran. So where are the original sources for those guys? You know, you claim about the Bible not having original sources. Where are who are these people? Where are they named? Are they named in your hadith? Who are these people, and where can we find what they wrote, what Muhammad said? Now what you're doing is you're not even getting primary or secondary source. Now you're with Uthman, you're at a tertiary source, sir. And so if you are going to trust that, what's that? Yeah, it was the first book burning ceremony that they had. All right, I'll continue because Rad's having a breakdown back there. Right, Allah gave you and me. What did David say? This is his favorite pickup line. Allah gave you to me in a dream. That's his pickup line when he goes to try to get a woman. Let me play the last 10 seconds of this. Okay, all right. Okay, so the hadiths are far more reliable than the words of the Bible. Prove it. Lot having sex with his daughters, right? Yeah, we don't throw it out. I want to play one right here. Let me play this one. This is kind of, I used to play tennis when I was a kid, and this is kind of what you would say at the end of a match. You'd say game, set, match, and this is it right here. I mean, we could have just ended the show right here. Let's play this, or started the show and enjoyed the rest of our afternoon. Game over. All right, you guys have a great weekend. That's it right there. He even admits that the Abbasids were writing hadiths that were false. They were fabricating them, embellishing hadiths to what? Build up Muhammad and to score political points against their enemies and to control more of the, to build up the caliphate, to make it stronger. You're admitting it. You're admitting what everybody has known. We don't believe the Hadith as far as you could throw them. But the problem is that you do, and your scholars do. And now what you're doing is you're saying, yeah, all you kafirs, all you swine of humankind, you're right. So why are you even having a debate? Why are you even having this discussion when you're admitting what we've said all along? It's nothing but a bunch of garbage, to include the Quran, which we don't have time to get into. Yeah. I mean, that's... This is where modern day debate changed the time. No, I don't want to play it. We don't have time. Let's see. What he says, okay, let me just say something real quick about that, Rad. Let me just say something real quick. So he's complaining that he went, okay, that Daniel Pikachu or whatever his name is, made an argument for child marriage, made it strong, Muslim making a strong argument for child marriage, and then Kenny making a strong argument that the Hadith don't teach that. So the only thing he's really arguing is that instead of going after him, he would have gone before him. What the heck is the difference is what I'm trying to figure out. But who knows? He did. He sent it to me, too. Well, just read it.